Lord's Day. Do you realize we've had snow and frost already by this time, right? So we're really blessed. We're going to hear some wonderful music both at the beginning of the service and at the end today. The choir is going to sing as a benediction. So instead of our normal get up and leave, if you could just sit after the benediction, the choir is going to sing their anthem at that time. And you'll be blessed and you'll understand the wisdom of that, I hope, when we do it. Please pay attention to the announcements on the board and we'll show them again in just a couple of minutes. Listen carefully to this music.
Anna, could you find Jasmine quick a minute? She's here and prepared, but she's got to be in here. Jasmine is our liturgist this morning. She's been here since 8:30, so she is prepared. She's also sort of been in charge of making sure we have greeters and ushers this morning, so I'm sure that's what she's busy doing.
I gave her two parts, so not to hold things up, we'll continue on and she can, oh, here she is. Jasmine!
We're just glad you're doing it, Jasmine.
Jasmine does all the jobs.
A reminder, this is third Sunday, so youth participating today, and Jasmine and Sienna have been helping to work that out, so thanks, Jasmine.
Good morning. Sorry, I was greeting as well. All right. Please join me in the call of worship. Let us worship the God of surprises. Too often we are told that winning is everything. Here in this place, we glimpse God's reality Austin, we believe that freedom means autonomy, that we are in charge of our lives. Here we learn again that true freedom only comes from God. We are truly free when we follow Christ and obey God's commandments. Too often, we are told that we are what we have, that wealth reigns and power rules. Here in this place, we are telling one another God's beliefs. The stone that was rejected by the builders has become the chief cornerstone. Let us worship the God of surprises. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's startling news once again.
Please stand and join us as we continue to worship by rejoicing in this day that God, not us, has made, and praising the holy God, the mighty God, Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, both of the songs that we're going to do have an echo part that we're going to do the first time through. We're going to do the guys first, and then the girls do the echo. And the second time through, the girls do the first part, and the guys do the echo part. And the first song in particular, I know that the children know this song really well, so I expect them to help us adults sing it.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
like you to look at the announcements up on the board. Jay will put those back up there. I know Rachel has an announcement, and I know that Eileen has a couple. And Gail, I'll ask you to make your way up, too. We're going to honor our teachers today, so she's going to let us know who the teachers are this year, and we're going to give out some Bibles to kindergartners and third graders.
Good morning. Just a reminder, I was asked to remind you that this morning at the end of the service there will be prayer under the cross. So if you have a special need or if you just would like to pray with another person, please come up under the cross and there will be people there to pray with you. We will also do joys and concerns during the service this morning. There is a technology committee meeting tomorrow night and it did not get in the agenda. It did not get in the bulletin. So that's at 7 p.m. And it's an important meeting because we want to update our web page as soon as possible. Our new committee, Disciples in Action, which is a combination of our Peace and Justice and our new Outreach Committee, we will be meeting this Wednesday. We're going to review our wonderful experiences at Phillips Village with the dinner that we had last Friday and continue to move forward in the other ways that we're going to be serving. So those are the three that I have. Rachel. Go to the microphone right here on the floor.
Okay. I just wanted to remind everyone about Trunk or Treat. It's going to be happening on the 29th, which is a Sunday, and we're really excited. Our young family Sunday school classes is going to host it, and we hope that everybody can come and join us. If you would like to decorate your trunk for Trunk or Treat, you can sign up out in the narthex today. And if you would like to donate candy just for us to use, then you can also bring that anytime and just give it to me or any of the young families, and we'll find a place to put it until the day. So I hope to see everybody there. We're trying to get at least 15 to 20 cars to decorate their trunks. So I know our family is doing 4 cars. So if anybody wants to come and decorate their car, we would love it and we would appreciate it.
Up. I did not get an important message in the bulletin today, but on this coming Saturday, the 21st, we're having our second type of Phillips Village activity, and that is for birthday parties for the 5 to 12-year-olders. So this coming Saturday, it starts at 2 o'clock and goes till 3:30. We do not have a lot of birthday parties to celebrate, but there are 4 young children, 1 8-year-old, 2 9-year-olds, and 1 10-year-old. So from small beginnings come great outcomes, and that's our view of this. We have sufficient volunteers. We wouldn't want to have, I'd love to get 10 or 15 of you to join us, but it would be a little awkward given the size of this event. But we'll definitely give you an update as to how it went. Thank you very much.
Okay, we are very blessed to have some wonderful adults that have stepped forward to help with all different areas of Children's Christian Ed. So right now, if you are part of our nursery staff, I'd like you just to stand. And we have in our preschool class, our teacher is Lindsay Hall and Dean Cheveria. That's preschool and pre-K. And then the kindergarten, first and second graders are together. And that's Anna Cooper and Diane Reedy. And the third, fourth, and fifth grade is Gwen Hoffman and Meg Marsh. So anybody involved with youth fellowship, with the planning or the activities, Wanda is the youth leader. So anybody else, if you're involved with teaching Sunday school for the senior highs, please stand.
About Bibles first, and then I have a little children's message I'd like to share with you. Come on up.
We just have the teachers for the third graders and the kindergartners to come up.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Congratulations.
Maya Kirschbaum. Brenna Lentz. I don't know if the Lentzes are here. I don't think so.
We got one more. Oh, okay.
Domenico Sorrentino.
All right. You got it?
Oh,
okay, that's all right. Just give it to him.
Jack Sepka.
Relationship.
And Charlie Taylor.
Yeah. Hey, Charlie. Good job. Thank you, guys. Mike standing. So actually, that was going to be the children's sermon, getting your Bibles, but I had something happen to me last Sunday night. Do you remember who was here to talk to us last week? What her name was? Dr. Jody? Remember Dr. Jody? So we had worship on Sunday afternoon at Baywind, where her mom lives. And I didn't expect them to come because they'd already come to church in the morning, but both of them came. And then as I was leaving, I was walking down the hall, Jody said, "Wait a minute." And she ran after me and she handed me this little bag of coins. Now, as I looked at the bag, there's some Mexican coins in here, and there's some American coins, and maybe some others, too. I haven't opened it, actually. So I said, "Jody, well, what is this?" And she told me about two people from Mexico City, and their names are Clara and David. And this is, you know what happened in Mexico City a few weeks ago? An earthquake. And actually, Jody talked about that, right? Now, thankfully, Clara and David are grateful. Their house did not get destroyed. There was some damage. But their daughter was running home from school, and as she was running, a block of stone fell off a high building and hit her on the foot. Now, think about that. If it hits you on the foot, what's real close to your foot? It didn't hit her head. It hit her foot. It broke her foot. She was in a lot of pain. She limped home, and now she's in a cast, and she's going to be fine. But that family was so thankful for what happened, that their daughter wasn't killed and their house wasn't destroyed, and they've all rallied to help other people. So they gave Jody this bag of money, and they said, "When you find somebody that could use it, give it to them," from Clara and David. Now, think about that, you guys. Clara and David live very modest lifestyle. They don't own a car. They make ends meet. They feed their children, they go to school, but they don't have a lot of extras. So do you see how amazing it is that, what's the first thing they thought about? They thought about caring for somebody else to pass it on. So I'm going to put, I didn't count this. I don't really care how much is in there. It's the thought of them thinking about us. Now, this could go to several places, and actually if you think about some of the things we use our money for youth and for children, Mrs. Galen would love to hear from you. We do have a student that we take care of. What's her name? Michelle. This might go to help Michelle. But we're going to just put it in there, and we're going to give thanks for David and Clara and for their generosity and for their caring. And it reminds me that we also can make a difference. We can care, and we can give as well. Okay? So let's pray, and then you can go to Sunday school. Congratulations. By the way, what are you going to do with your Bible? That's all I wanted to hear. That's great. Let's pray. Oh, that's right. Oh, yep. Stand up and look at the book. We're going to sing a Vacation Bible School song. And we Presbyterians don't move a lot, but you're going to have to move and maybe even clap your hands. I know that's going to be hard, but we're going to do it. And Miss, you're going to lead?
Dan,
if you're able.
shining on us. All that is good comes from above.
Good morning again. I'm going to be reading the Old Testament lesson, which is Exodus 20, 1 through 20. And this is from The Message. God spoke all these words. I am God, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of a life of slavery. No other gods, only me. No carved gods of any size, shape, or form of anything whatever, whether of things that fly or walk or swim. Don't bow down to them and don't serve them, because I am God, your God, and I am a most jealous God, punishing the children for any sins their parents pass on to them to the third and, yes, even to the fourth generation of those who hate me. But I'm unswervingly loyal to the thousands who love me and keep my commandments. No using the name of God, your God, in any curses or silly banter. God won't put up with the irreverent use of his name. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Work 6 days and do everything you need to do. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to God, your God. Don't do any work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your servant, nor your maid, nor your animals, not even the foreign guests visiting your town. For in the 6 days God made heaven, earth, and sea, and everything in them. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day. He set it apart as the holy day. Honor your father and mother so that you'll live a long time in the land that God, your God, is giving you. No murder, no adultery, no stealing, no lies about your neighbor, no lusting after your neighbor's house or wife or servant or maid or ox or donkey. Don't set your heart on anything that is your neighbor's. All the people experiencing the thunder and lightning, the trumpet blast, and the smoking mountain were afraid. They pulled back and stood at a distance. They said to Moses, "You speak to us and we'll listen, but don't have God speak to us or we'll die. Moses spoke to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you and instill a deep and reverent awe within you so that you won't sin.
Know that Jasmine is our youth elder, but she's also working with Eileen and I in helping us coordinate worship. So she does a great job with that. Thank you, Jasmine. What are you going out to do now? All right. Blessings to you. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't know. So on Wednesday when we were putting the bulletin together, Karen called me and very sheepishly said, did you know your text this week is the same as last week? And I said yes, and she breathed a sigh of relief. She thought maybe I was having a moment there. But the text from last week from Philippians chapter 4, and it's not on the screen this week, so if you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your chair rack Bible. And it's so full of information from Paul about prayer, and we're going to be talking about prayer. We did last week. This week we're going to talk about some impediments and pitfalls and practices of prayer, and then for the next several weeks, Reverend Eileen and I are going to take us through prayer using the Beatitudes and also John 9. You know that Eileen's been doing a series on John 9. So if you haven't read John, you can do that. So let's follow along. The one thing I want to highlight today, and we did this last week as well, one of the first things Paul says, and we said last week that Paul tends to use words like always, unceasingly. Paul is very sure of himself. He doesn't treat things gently at all. And sometimes for us, that's a little bit disheartening, especially when he says pray unceasingly. I like to think I do that, but I know that I don't do that. Paul also says don't worry about anything. Okay, I don't know about you. I don't consider myself to be a compulsive worrier. You can always watch Kim and tell if I'm being right on about that when I say something. Let's read starting at verse 1 of chapter 4 of Philippians. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge you, Odia, and I urge Sincti, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in my work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then here is one of those wonderful lists that Paul offers in almost every one of his letters. Finally, my beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is anything any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. The God of peace with you. So before we pray, I just want to remind us of the fellow we introduced to you last week named Richard. He was a friend and student of Philip Yancey's, and you remember the struggles that Richard had with prayer. I want to highlight those because I think we might discover, as Richard did in reflection, that one of the biggest impediments to prayer there is our own selves. Remember what we found out about Richard? He was a theological graduate student. He was an excellent writer. In fact, he had a book that was being published on Job, but he had this very difficult time wondering whether what he was doing was the right thing. He didn't know if he was praying enough or often enough or with the right words. He didn't know if he was doing the things that God wanted him to do, even though he was busy all the time doing things for God. And then we also discovered what happened to Richard. Along the way, several things shook his life up, starting with the breakup of his parents, which was very traumatic for him. He lost a job that had been promised to him, and his fiance left him suddenly. And then he just went into a downward spiral. He started having some physical symptoms, and then he was clinically depressed. And somehow Richard believed that if he prayed the right way and did the things that God wanted, things would go well for him. So he concluded, right? Because things weren't going well, he must be doing something wrong. I hope we've outgrown that attitude for ourselves, although there are times, right, that all of us say, where are you, God? What's going on? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? That's especially true where prayer is concerned. Let's pray for a minute. Gracious Holy God, you have spoken to us through your word. We hear your commandments. We hear Paul's words about our life together in faith. We ask that you would help us to understand today the power and importance of prayer, that there is no perfect prayer, and Lord, your greatest desire is to be in communication with us. So hear us now in our words and in our silence as we gather in this time of worship. We praise you and we thank you for this Sabbath day. In Jesus' name. So a psychologist was running a class on stress management for a bunch of high-powered business people. And on the day of the class, she walked into the room with a glass of water in her hand, and she smiled and just walked around the room. And she sort of looked like she was handing the glass to the men and women gathered in the room. Now, being high-powered executives, they were trying to figure out what she was trying to do, and one person muttered rather loudly, "Half full." Then somebody else, of course, said, "Half empty." And they went back and forth and bantered back and forth. And after a moment, she stopped and stood absolutely still and stopped smiling, and she waited for them to settle down. She didn't say anything. And then she asked this question, "How heavy is this glass of water?" There was silence again, and she started to walk, and she started to offer them the glass of water and smile at them. And again, they started bantering back and forth. "It's 8 ounces. It's 10 ounces. No, it isn't. It's 16. It's 20. And they went back and forth. And then she just stopped again and waited. She said this to the exec. She said, "You know, the absolute weight really doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is how long you have to hold on to it. Now, if I hold it for a minute, no problem, right? If I hold it for an hour, well, depending on the shape I'm in, I might have a little ache in my arm. Ah, if I hold it for a day, straight out, then I'll probably be a little numb, maybe even paralyzed. In each case, though, the weight of the glass doesn't change, but the longer I hold on to it, heavier it gets." She continued, "The stresses and worries of life are just like this glass of water. Think about them for a while and nothing happens. Think about them a bit longer and maybe they begin to creep into your mind and even start to hurt. Think about them for a whole day or longer and might even feel paralyzed or incapable of functioning." So Paul said to the Philippians, "Do not worry about anything." I wonder if the Philippians had anything worth worrying about. They were a persecuted church. They had some power issues among the leadership in their congregation. Two women who were highlighted at the beginning, Euodia and Syntyche, were struggling with a difference of opinion. And Paul suggested that they might have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. We ought to talk sometime about what that means and how that might be made manifest in our lives. But then Paul says this. He says, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything," there's that word again, "everything, let your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving make your request known to God." Now, anytime we're talking about private prayer, the kind that Paul is speaking about, The matter of a distracted mind, worries, and other things is always a factor, isn't it? In fact, for many Christians, they say private prayer is one of the hardest aspects of the Christian life. Now, I know that's not true for all Christians. There's people in every church for whom prayer comes, it seems like, as easily as breathing. But I bet if you ask them, they would say that it's always a struggle and always takes effort. But those who wrestle with a wandering mind during prayer or have difficulty even setting aside time for regular prayer and reflection may be like Richard and wonder at some point, do my prayers even matter at all? By any measure we might use, C.S. Lewis was one of the strong voices in Christianity in the 20th century, and actually he was known for his serious prayer life. And yet in his writings, in every one of his books practically, Lewis writes about the struggle that he had with prayer, especially as a young person. He said, a struggle filled with distractions that for a while was one of the things that led me away from the faith. In fact, he describes the technique he was using for prayer when he made private prayer, and he said that it became quite an intolerable burden. He explains it this way. He said, I'd been told as a child that a person must not say one prayer and just say words, but must think about everything that they're saying. Accordingly, I tried to put that into practice. At first, it seemed like smooth sailing, but soon the false conscience came into play. I no sooner reached amen, and I whispered to myself, yes, but are you sure you were really thinking about what you said you were to God? Were you also thinking about what you did last night, what you had for dinner, what you read, or the entertainment that you did? The answer, for reasons that I did not fully understand, was nearly always no. Very well, the voice in my head would say. Then hadn't you better try it over again? And I dutifully obeyed. But I had no assurance that the second attempt would be any better than the first. And to these nagging suggestions, my reaction was the most foolish I suppose I could have adopted. I set myself a standard. Again, does that sound like Richard? No part of my prayer was allowed to pass muster unless it was accompanied by a realization, by which I meant a certain vividness of imagination and affections. My nightly task was to produce a sheer willpower, a phenomena which willpower could never produce, which was so ill-defined that I could never say with absolute confidence whether it had occurred at all. And even when it did occur, I believed it was of little or no spiritual value. Boy, how's that for a grim analysis from one of the powerhouses in the early church? Lewis said this, he said, if I'd continued on that road much longer, I surely would have gone stark raving mad. Well, many of us who find praying difficult may not go to that same extreme as Lewis did. We may feel nonetheless that so-called devotional time just might be wasted on us. We may even entertain the thought that something is wrong with us, or maybe our faith or commitment to Jesus isn't enough. We can't even manage to keep our daily cares at bay for few minutes a day while we're praying. So is the solution to skip prayer altogether? Conclude that maybe we're just second-class Christians? Well, I don't think that's the right answer. Praying is a way for us to reach out to God and to listen to God. That's why we're spending so much time with it these next weeks. Prayer, in fact, can even contribute to a life that is less fraught with worry. Do you believe that? So what can help us through our impediments to prayer? While we might draw some encouragement from the fact that the disciples themselves even needed some help regarding prayer. According to Luke 11, the reason that Jesus gave them what is now known as the Lord's Prayer was because the disciples said to him one day, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I wondered when I read that, why did the disciples need that kind of help? After all, they were all children of the synagogue, Orthodox Jews. They'd grown up going to worship and hearing many public prayers. I guess we have to conclude that the public prayers they heard were not easily translating into the experience of private prayer. So, Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer as a model for private prayer. This tells us that Jesus understood that praying is something with which many people need help, even disciples. Now, we might also draw some encouragement from the matter of spiritual gifts. This morning, we commissioned some work campers, and they're on the road right now, heading to New Jersey for a week of work, still cleaning up after Sandy. And all of the places we've been through the years, they're still cleaning up, right? And then the Mississippi Gulf Coast got hit again. So prayers for them and their work this week and their ministry. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, again, talks about different gifts, talents that can be put to work for the good of others and for the church. Now, Paul's lists vary depending on the book that he's written in, but they include things like prophecy and serving, teaching and preaching, giving aid, acts of mercy, discernment, other abilities as gifts. And he says they're all given to people in differing measures according to the person. Now, in a church that I previously served, I worked with the nominating committee, and when I arrived at the church, they had what was called the warm body principle. If you went to church two or three times, it was very likely that someone was going to approach you in the narthex and grab your hand and ask you to do something. And they'd say something like this: no pressure, but you have until I let go of your hand to make a decision. We've gotten better at that, haven't we? And this congregation is full of gifts, as was the congregation I served in Pennsylvania. Now, we didn't have a time and talent survey. We had a spiritual gift survey, we called it. And it took all of the lists that Paul made and broke them down and gave an inventory to help people decide what their best gifts were. And this one particular person discovered through that spiritual inventory that we introduced while I was there that her best gift was prayer. Now, it turns out this same person had served for 6 years as the chair of the mission committee. But during that person's tenure, they never seemed to be able to accomplish very much. Unlike our mission committee, which every meeting does a whole 12 months worth of work very diligently and prayerfully. So she took the survey for the first time, and with tears in her eyes, she realized that she didn't have the gift of administration. But when the gift of prayer was monitored, it went off the charts. Now, what was the elder's response? I'm pleased. They said, no wonder you're having trouble chairing a committee. You're not very strong in that gift. So they relieved her of that responsibility and gave it to somebody else. She became a part of the spiritual nurture committee, and she was not the chair, I'm pleased to report. She worked with the prayer chain and with intercessory prayer in the church, and I have every reason to believe she's still doing that, even though it's been over 20 years since I've been there. Now, prayer, according to Paul, is indeed one of the spiritual gifts. You know that. And like some of the other gifts, it is not given in the same measure to every Christian. Let's remember that many of the people we remember as great Christians of the past had difficulty praying. Still, the testimony of the Bible and the church through the centuries is that every Christian needs to pray, and that any prayer is never wasted. Every Christian benefits from prayer. So let me share with you a few practices that you may find helpful. First, sometimes we need something to clear our minds and to warm our spirits so that we can pray. For some folks, they read the Bible. Some people read the Psalms. They start at Psalm 1, and when they get to 150, they start over again. And that's their way of getting in touch with the spiritual. Others read devotional material. And I'm pleased to tell you we have a whole bunch of that on the visitor table and in the church office and in the church library. I personally like to listen to classical music, and there's others that like music and find that to be spirit-warming. And that doesn't just mean classical, maybe Christian music, maybe some contemporary music that's quiet and gentle. Second, using prayers that are written by others. I have many prayer books. I know Reverend Eileen does as well. It's often a good way to open our minds to prayer and to the channels to God. Again, our library and prayer room, room one, have many books filled with prayers from others. And as we read other prayers, we may discover that God speaks to us about our needs in some of the areas that these prayers addressed. Third, I think it can be helpful to write our prayers down. entire prayers sometimes, but often just a few lines to summarize our thoughts. By the way, have you ever had a week where five or six people have said, "Will you pray for me?" And what's your response always? Of course. But then you get down to the praying and you say, six people asked me to pray for them, and you try to remember what the prayer request was. Writing things down is always a good idea, and the older I get, the better an idea it is. We might think this is a letter to God, or even on this day when we celebrate our youth, an email or a text to God. Four, just as athletes benefit from a habitual routine of exercise and practice, which I might add surely does not excite them sometimes, so too we might benefit from an ongoing schedule and procedure, a daily practice of spiritual disciplines. Some of us will find that the regularity of these practices will make room for the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives. Finally, prayer for whatever our mind wanders to is also a faithful response. In order to stop battling a wandering mind, sometimes the exercise of doing that keeps us from thinking about God at all. I just saw Noah. It just shocked me. I knew you were here, Noah. Good to see you, brother. Talk after church, okay? All right. All right, where was I? All right. Sometimes, right, you can't bow your head and you can't fold your hands and you can't close your eyes. And you don't always say fully formed petitions to God, especially in your time of grief. We're going to talk about that in another sermon. And instead, you pray briefly as things come up while you're continuing your daily routines. Could you pray while you're stuck in traffic? That doesn't happen here as much as it did in Atlanta when we were there. Can you pray when you're rocking a baby? Now, when I sit with Georgia, I know you can. You can sit and think about your relationship with God, or working outside, or doing the laundry, or washing the car, or even while you're doing your job. That kind of praying is less than an email and maybe more like a tweet. I want you to know I'm up to date on these things. Praying with our hands folded is no more holy than praying with our hands busy at work. Longer organized entreaties to God and affirmations to God are no more saintly than shorter disorganized pleas and praise. Even the Lord's Prayer Jesus gave us was never intended to be seen as the only way to pray. So, our call is to be a praying congregation. We do that on Sunday collectively. We also need to be about that daily in our own personal lives. For many Christians, we have figured out ways to incorporate prayer into our daily schedule. And I believe that it will surely benefit the body of Christ if we all make that a priority in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. Tell me what's next, because I don't know why I did my book. There it is. So, note to self, I need four bulletins on Sunday morning. Thank you. There is a prayer of confession in your bulletin. That is one of our ways that we pray to God. And again, we're going to be talking about these each individually. But let's say this together in unison as we pray together. Oh God, you search after us when we have gone far from you. Yet we confess that we have become consumed with our own affairs. We seldom pause to listen for the wind and the trees, or to hear the happy voices of children. Sometimes we feel the burdens of the world fall entirely on our shoulders. We have been slow to put our trust in you or to cooperate with others. Whenever we take ourselves make us patient with our own mistakes, even as we are willing to forgive others. And of God's amazing love for us is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus entered the world to rescue and to save us. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
It is now the time we have the privilege of giving our gifts, and our young folks are going to help this morning.
Thank you.
morning we're going to share joys and concerns, and Ethan has agreed to walk around with the microphone. I have a few things that I'm going to start with. There is a joy. Wilma Brooker will have her 96th birthday on the 14th this month. Where are you, Wilma? That was yesterday. And Lord, in your mercy, we give praise. Hear our prayer. And you have your glasses on today. Well, Wilma has magic glasses that actually allow her to see. There are computers in there that allow her to see. And we're really, really thankful that we just love you, Wilma. Happy birthday. Another I wanted to mention in this service, they were commissioned in the last service, but these are the people that were commissioned to go to New Jersey. John Bacon, who's from Penfield Presbyterian Church, he regularly now goes with our group, and we're just really thankful for that. Jim Hoffman, Bob and Jan Rich, Dick and Tina McNeary, Brad and Kathy Adams, and Mark and Connie, Mark Pipel and Connie Rice. So we pray for God's blessing on all of them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Others, please raise your hand. We're really excited that Noah is here. Hey, Noah. Wonderful. Noah is serving in the armed forces and living in California, right? We're so happy that you're here. How long are you here for? 6 more days. We give thanks for you and continue to pray for you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Others. Absolutely. Bruce and his wife Martha are here this morning. I know a number of weeks ago when we started in September and I was not here, I was at Bruce's farewell ordination, retirement worship service in Pittsford Presbyterian. It's so good to have you here this morning. Thanks for joining us. Others.
I have a prayer of praise. I have a cousin, Steve, who lives on St. John in the Virgin Islands. And as you know, Irma came tearing through the Virgin Islands, and Maria came through tearing through Puerto Rico. He survived 2 Category 5 hurricanes. He was in his home on St. John. His wife was on the mainland. And he carefully opened up the back windows and so the roof would not blow out. His neighbors helped him clear debris from the driveway, and he was able to drive away, but he had a foot infection that was very serious. They got him to the clinic in St. John, and he was helicoptered by FEMA. He has all good things to say about FEMA, to a hospital in Puerto Rico. And that was right in the path of Maria. He realized it was coming. He was on a IV for antibiotics, and the protocol called for a 10-day treatment on that. He got to 8 days, and he saw Maria was heading right their way. He checked himself out, much to the consternation of the medical staff, and he and his wife found a secure place in a fairly new hotel in San Juan, and it did not even lose power in that hotel. So he weathered that, and then he was brought up to Jacksonville, where he is now recovering from his foot infection. So prayer of praise.
Absolutely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Others.
Just prayers for my son-in-law, Jeremy. He's driving home from Atlanta. His grandmother passed away last weekend, and so he drove down by himself. So today he's driving all the way home from Atlanta by himself. So travel mercies for Jeremy.
Absolutely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Others. Ethan, you're getting a workout.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Herman Rohl, and I just need some prayer for myself. And I want to say happy birthday to Mrs. Brucker, because she's always been there for me. And just a few days ago, I was thinking about taking my life. God, I just don't know what to do right now. But I'm trying to hang in there, and I'm going to hopefully try and get some, I'm going to get some help. Thank you very much.
Remind us your name. Remind us your name. Your name.
Hello.
Herman. This is Herman. Thank you, Herman. So we pray for Herman. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thanks for sharing. Anything else? In the back. And while you're going over there, I just wanted to share a joy that we all have as a congregation, because our first dinner at Phillips Village was such a wonderful success. We think we fed 70 people, and a number of comment cards came back. We have prayer requests from the folks there, and a number of people wanted a visit from the church. So we will continue to do our dinners at Phillips Village. And the birthday party is this Saturday. It's on my schedule. Thank you. Yes, Anna.
So my friend's brother just had a baby, and they just figured out that he was born addicted to heroin, because the mother, which the father didn't know, had been doing heroin the whole time that she was pregnant with the baby. So just prayers for the baby and the father, because he's going through a divorce with his wife, who he's been married to for just 3 months now, and he's trying to get custody of the child. So just prayers for their whole family.
Anna, what is the baby's name? You don't know?
Brian, I think.
Brian? If it isn't Brian, God will know, right?
Yeah.
So we pray for that difficult situation and for Brian. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Any others? There's a hand over here. Ethan, Bob.
Oh, I'm a great-grandfather for the second time.
Congratulations.
But my grandson's wife, she had the good job. He was staying home and taking care of my grandson. Now they're going to reverse roles. So my grandson needs a job, if you know of one. However, they're down in Missouri.
Thank you. In that joy, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Well, we've been praying, right? And adult education today, I'm going to be teaching Companions in Christ, and we're going to be following up on what Larry had talked about, impediments to prayer. But I don't want us to do a lot of talking about prayer. I'm hoping that we can do some praying together. So I invite you to join us in room 910 if you would like to do that. And it's new members class today. We give thanks to God for our new members. And so pray for us as we all gather together and they become more and more a part of our community. Let us finish our prayer, although our prayers will continue as we leave this place, as we pray together the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For you are the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us sing.
Philippians letter. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Please be seated. Thank you.